Blog Talk Radio.
Stand by, please. Okay, praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be going very deep with this thing. Also, praying in the Holy Ghost will be the second segment tomorrow. And then Tuesday, we'll be back on Children's Deliverance Ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins, known and unknown. In Genesis chapter 4, 6, and 7, Lord, your words say that sin lied at the door. We ask that you forgive us for all sins. We ask that the Holy Spirit take over this conversation by the word of God to repel all demonic forces of the enemy from trying to stop a person from hearing the word of God. We come up against delay tactics. We come up against any demonic spirits that would block the individual from hearing this word. Lord, we give all honor and glory to you in the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. All right, let's deal with prayer. The goals of this lesson is to define the terms prayer and to demonstrate how prayer is utilized in the life of a believer. Most people don't pray. I pray in the Holy Ghost, Jude 1:20, Jude 19 and 20. Most people don't even say a regular prayer. People just get up, they don't pray. People just, they eat, they don't pray over their food. You know, when you pray over your food, you're sanctified. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about in essence to prayer. The word prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, comes from the Hebrew word pila, P-A-L-A-L, which means to pray, intervene, meditate, or judge. The word implies the need for meditation between two parties. The act of meditation and intervention will thus require a judgment by the mediator. Prayer is thus a direct toward God in order that his judgment and situation may be known unto him. Unto him. Who's him? Unto him, the Lord. The right to pray. We have a right to pray. And God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. According to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God gave directly to man the authority to rule and dominate in the earth. The basis of this rules was man's direct relationship with his creator God. We know that the authority was lost to Satan. When man sinned in the garden, this is why the Apostle Paul refers to Satan as the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. However, because God's purpose are unchanging, his desire for man to rule in the earth remains steadfast. For this purpose, God sent Jesus of Nazareth to the earth to offer himself for sin, that the only begotten Son came to earth as a spotless lamb and died in our place. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them that believe. Through his death, Jesus restored man to his rightful place as ruler of the earth and cohabited the earth through Christ Jesus. Jesus came as a man and died for man. He took upon himself the nature of sin and to give us the righteousness in the sight of God. It is on the basis of this redemption that we are believers have a right to communicate with God, The relationship of prayer is the foundational stone of communicating with God was reestablished. And when people don't pray, let me tell you what happens when you don't pray. You have no direction. You have no guidance to your life. Did you know that anyone who calls themselves a Christian, your life is hidden in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Your life is hidden in Christ. It's hidden. This is why it's very, very valuable. If you're dating someone, you're married to someone, you have a relationship with someone, whoever, whatever, that Christ has to be the cornerstone and the centerpiece of that. If not, it ain't going to work. Approaching God in prayer. Now that Jesus has restored our fellowship and communion with God, it is important that we understand how we should approach him. Prayer is one of the vehicles that believers use to approach God. However, praying to God is not without standards. Through the Leviticus priesthood, God prescribed an assembly of how man come into his presence. The officer will approach God was called a priest. He cannot approach God without the holy reverence and fear. As believers, we are called kings and priests in Revelation 1:6. The blood of Jesus shed for us and cleansed us from the nature of sin that once separated us from God. This same blood allows us to come before the Father and righteousness among the presence of the Holy Ghost. We can make our requests known to God. And if you're not in connect with God through prayer, your life ain't going to go nowhere. Your life won't be successful because you can't communicate to the Lord. You have to be able to communicate to God. And this sung a new saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, therefore, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, has made unto us our God, King, Priest. We shall reign on earth through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you hindrance to prayer. Why is it that some prayers can't be answered? Okay, we're going to really get into this because there's a lot of people calling me saying, well, my prayers is not answered. Well, here are some hindrances to prayer. Number one, there are several areas we must consider in order to be assured that our time spent with prayer with God is effective. Now, when I get off this internet radio station and after I communicate and do something else, I'm going to go and pray in the Holy Ghost for 3 hours. I have to. I need direction. I got to allow the Lord to lead me. The sons of God are led by his Spirit. And with no communication to God, you're going to be separated. This is why a lot of people say that they're Christians, but they really don't practice Christianity on a daily basis. Sin is the greatest hindrance to prayer. Sin. Sin is the greatest hindrance to prayer. Since sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. Behold, sin separates us from God. Sin is perhaps the greatest hindrance to prayer since sin separates us from the Lord. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. So when people are having some sin in their life and they don't ask the Lord to forgive them, God is not going to hear you. You got to forgive a person on earth. You can't even go to God unless you forgive. Do you know there are many husbands and wives that calls me and talk to me, and the husband go to bed mad at his wife. And then the next week, the wife mad at the husband. See, they are not on one accord. Now the devil going to use your emotion to be mad at your husband, or the devil will use your emotion to be mad at anybody. You have to forgive people. Look at the sins that the Lord forgave you through your stupidity. I know I'm the worst of all sinners. I don't know why God called me, but God says, I've chosen you. You've not chosen me. If we regard and regret sin in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So in order for God to hear us, confess your sins every day because the Bible says sin lies at the door every day. It's always something. Ain't no such thing as no holy pastor. Ain't no such thing as no holy apostle. Ain't nobody holy but Jesus. For all have sinned and all have came short of the glory of God, every one of us. Stop looking at these pastors and looking up to them. You better look up to Jesus of Nazareth. Don't look to me. I have sinned. I'm fighting my sin. Work out your own salvation. But you cannot pray to God if you have sinned and you have been separated from the Lord. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to fail doing that. The presence of sin in our lives, especially willful sin, expresses a blatant disregard for the word of God and for his commandments. This states through the hindrance is not permanent, but the Bible clearly states that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Ask the Lord to forgive you. I don't care how many times you sin. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times should we forgive our brother? He says 77 times, 77 times a day. That's 995 times a day that God will forgive you for your sins. Your sins will block you from any prayer, any desire that you may have. It ain't going nowhere. You ain't going to go nowhere. You're not going to have no connection with the Lord. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I've seen so many Christians go away from Christianity because they have a problem. I knew of a man, and I'm not judging this man, and I can't give his name. This man struggled with homosexuality. And I know that's an abomination of God because the Bible says that. When this man was struggling, the Lord told me, work with him. Tell him to I said, keep coming to Jesus. Keep coming to Jesus. He said, when you're the only pastor, because they cut me off because I'm homosexual. And then the Lord gave me word of knowledge. He got homosexual by being abused by his uncle. And he kept going. I said, ask the Lord to forgive you. And he kept going, and he finally got free. I don't care what your situation is. Please go to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you for your sins, man. Don't be going to bed with that mess on you. You know you can get up, and you may not make it tomorrow. James 4:14 says, we're like a vapor. We're here, and we're gone. Damn. Unforgiveness blocks prayers. Let me say this. Unforgiveness will block your prayer to God. Unforgiveness is also a hindrance to prayer because God has forgiven us of the tremendous amount of sin we have committed against him, and we do it every day. He expects that we should express the same mercy toward others. You may be angry with a person. It's not worth it. Forgive them. You know why? If you don't forgive them, the Lord is not going to hear your prayer. These people are not worth you not having your prayers heard. I got to pray. I teach stuff that people don't want to deal with. So I got to pray. I got to ask the Lord, forgive me. I ask the Lord to forgive me every day. I'm not a perfect man. None of us are. But we have an advocate, Jesus, and he's our mediator. That means he died for you. He paid the ransom, and the devil don't want you to ask God to forgive you, so you won't be able to pray. See, Satan is involved with this mess. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye pray, praying, forgive. F-O-R-G-I-V-E. If a person doesn't forgive, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get bitter with that person. You're going to get angry with the person. Your emotions are going to change with that person. You see that name, you get anger. Them demons love that. Now you all out the will of God now. They're not worth it. No human being is not worth that. I'm going to keep my connection with Christ. Forgive. If ye have any ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespassing. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, write that down. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Wrong motives of prayer. Now, this is where people are trying to pray for Mercedes-Benz, and God didn't call you for that. You praying for something, and you're gonna try to change some man because he ain't saved. I'm going to pray him out of there. I've seen many women make mistakes saying, well, I'm going to pray for this man, and God's going to answer my prayer. But how are you going to pray for somebody that don't want salvation? So I have to use wisdom. Wrong motives. Lust is defined as unholy desire. It is a desire for the things originated from our flesh, for the expressive purpose to fulfill our flesh, since the desire originated in an area God is not present with. He don't like that. And the devil knows it. And then when that happens, you start fighting with you and God. And that's just what the devil wants you to do, so that you can't get your prayers heard. For where comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have that you cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you can't get nothing done because you won't forgive. You may be having a something about your cousin or your uncle. Forgive them. That don't mean you got to hang with them if they're unbelievers, but you got to forgive. Strife, that blocks prayer. Strife is simply defined as contention, a conflict that exists between two or more parties. Strife is usually accompanied by envy, jealousy, and represents Satan. God requires that we as believers dwell in peace with all men. His place on us the responsibility of doing what we can. The peace and unity may be presented to us only through Jesus. Now, let me show you how serious Christ looks at this. I had a lady and her husband came to me and Sister Durden. She's my assistant. And the man was outside smoking so many cigarettes, he was shaking. I said, Lord, this man looks like he got PTSD. He ain't never been in the military. Just a smart. And I said, what is wrong with this man? And the lady came for deliverance. And the Lord gave me word of knowledge. I said, You don't forgive your husband. No, I'll never forgive him. I'll never forget what he did to me. I'll forgive him, but I won't forget. Anytime you hear that, that's not forgiven. Because Philippians 3:13 says, forget those things behind. So when you forgive, you got to forget. That don't mean you got to be with the person, but if the person has hurt you, leave them alone. But you got to forgive. Let me show you why. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 23 through 24. Matthew, chapter 5, 23 through 24. Watch this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remains that thy brother have an altar against thee, leave there thy gifts before the altar and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother. It may be your brother, maybe your sister, whoever it is. God don't even want your gifts. And then come and offer thy gifts. You can tithe and you find out, well, how come I'm not being successful? Unforgiveness. That lady told me I'll never forgive him. I said, ma'am, ain't nothing I can do for you. Ain't nothing I can do for you. I can't help you because you won't forgive. Likewise, if any man that's married to a woman, I'm talking about a born again, I ain't talking about no unsaved man, and you hold strife against your wife, you know your prayers can be stopped. Likewise, ye husbands, do well with them according to knowledge. Well, feed your wife the word of God. Feed your best friend the word of God. Feed your children the word of God. Feed your fiance, whoever it is, give them the word of God. Honor unto thy wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, that the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. A lot of men call me, and they're angry with their wife. They got to forgive her. Don't nobody want to get forgiven, but everybody want God to do something for them, but they don't want to do it by God's way. No, that ain't going to work, not with God. Another thing that blocks prayer is doubt. Doubt is the failure to believe or trust that God can do that which you have asked. It is questions and ability and willingness of God to do that which he had requested. God's word is clearly stated. He said in his promise, and yes, amen. God expects us to believe him despite contrary evidence. So you may be praying on something, and you are waiting for God to bless you. You know it's going to mess you up. Looking and analyzing. We walk not by sight, we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. And that will stop your prayer. If you need wisdom, ask God. Lord, give me wisdom how to deal with this thing. Give me wisdom of how to pray. You have to go to him on everything. A job, where you go to church at, who you fellowship, who you date, especially who you marry. Because if that marriage is unequally yoked, Satan is going to use every vessel that he can to destroy that marriage through your child, through the stepchild, through whoever, because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And most Christians don't ever have a phantom when you teach the scriptures about Satan. The thief wished to steal, kill, and destroy. In Ephesians 4:27, the word of God says, give the devil no place. Don't give him no place in your life. Please forgive. If you need wisdom, ask God, according to James 1:5 and 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men liberally and abide it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, here are hindrances to prayer. Wrong motives and wrong requests to God. You got the wrong motive. I had a lady say she praying for her wife. I said, what are you talking about? God ain't going to hear you. You talking about you married to some woman. That ain't in the Bible. But I'm still going to pray. You can waste your time. You need to repent from homosexuality or lesbianism and then go to God. She didn't want to hear that. So she had a wrong motive. Wrong motives will block your prayer. That's in James chapter 4. Verse 2-3, any kind of sin in your life will block your prayer. Any kind of sin in your life will block your prayer. That's in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1-2. Idols in your heart. If you love somebody more than Jesus, that marriage ain't going to work. Because God's a jealous God. I don't love no one. I love a person, but I love Jesus first over everybody. And most people have idols in their heart. God's a jealous God. He said, I'm a God of jealousy. So you have to love him first. If you can't love the Lord Jesus, how are you going to love a wife? Or how is a wife going to love the husband? It ain't going to work. Unforgiving spirit blocks prayer. Mark 11:23. Selfishness. Wrong motives. Proverbs 21:13. Mistreatment of family members. Now, I done seen family members say some negative stuff to me. I don't do family. I do spiritual family. I don't do physical family. I don't recognize physical family. My sister's Catholic. I love them to death. My brother's Catholic. They call me talking about happy Christmas and happy Santa Claus. I don't do that. That ain't in the Bible. And they got angry at me. My brother hollered and screamed, said, you think you better than me? I let the dead bury the dead, Matthew 8:22. He's dead spiritually. He's my brother in the physical, but he's dead spiritually if he's in it to Santa Claus. We don't do the Easter bunny rabbits. There ain't none of that in the Bible. So here you is hopping on something that's not biblical. God doesn't like that. Now, for the husband, you need to be in prayer because you're going to have a lot of situations in your life that's going to require you to pray. Now, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. This is a basic prayer. There's two ways to pray, natural prayer and pray by the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost in Jude 1:19-20. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out, spirits. Come out. Anytime you're yawning, doing the word, them demons are coming out. Let them come on out. Get them out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Now, there are two prayers, okay? One, the Our Father. Let's look at this prayer in depth. People just say it, but they don't break it down. I thank the Lord through Derek Prince. I was under Derek Prince Ministries for many years. The first thing Jesus instructed disciples to do was to address God as their Father. Sin made this statement impossible. Redemption made it effective through Christ. It is the statement of a relationship and dependency on through the Lord. And he asks us to pray, which are in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. This statement is one of the submissions we recognize the help and need is not for us only. It is for the Lord. Now, I'm going to show something to you on the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of people don't know it, but it's very, very, very powerful. Our Father, which art in heaven. God is in heaven. There are three heavens. Paul was called to the third heaven. So you got to get your prayer to the heavens. Do you know that Satan can block your prayer in Daniel chapter 10, that he was praying, and the spirit of principality blocked it for 21 days, and God had to send the angel Gabriel, Michael the archangel, to send that message to that man, that same thing can happen to you because of Satan and you don't know the devil. This is a war. It's a spiritual war, not a physical war, but the spiritual wars are more harder than the spiritual wars. Then you say, hallowed be thy name. The word hallow means reverence, set apart, or sanctified. It is a statement that honors God and puts him in a place of permission and priority. This is the point in prayer where God is worshipped and esteemed for who he is. At this point, God is exalted, glorified, magnified, in fellowship with you and him. How many times do you pray to the Lord? I pray to the Lord every day. I said, Lord, I thank you that you gave me to be 62 years of age. God done got me out of a lot of mess. Guns against my head. I can go on and on and on. Bullets coming at me, ducking and dodging. I don't even know why God got me here sometimes. Because of his mercy and his grace. And I always ask God to forgive me. So his name is to be respected. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is another statement in submission. Here we choose to seek in prayer the fulfillment and the desire of God. God's kingdom represents the place where he is absolutely ruled, and the activities that take place express his interest. The will of God is simple. That which is upon his heart. It expressed of his interest and his fulfillment in the earth, because God only does things in accordance to his will, not your will. Your will is not going to work, but you have to follow God's rules in order for your prayers to be heard. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? This is a request for provision. Daily bread was a Jewish item referred not only to bread, but anything that made bread possible. It includes the weather, soil, sea, water. Bread is the bread of life. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. That's even in the Lord's Prayer. Then he says, and deliver us from what? Evil. That's deliver. That's the minister of deliverance. Now, let's look at Jesus and what he did through prayer. Now I want to get to Yeshua, the Messiah, my Savior. Let's get to this captain of my salvation, Hebrews 2:15. He's the captain. I hear pastors in Jamaica running around talking about you a general. You ain't no general. You ain't nothing. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. These pastors running around calling themselves a spiritual general. They ain't nowhere in the Bible. Much a bunch of foolishness. Now, let's look at this here. Definition of prayer is to communicate with God, calling upon the name of the Lord, Genesis 12:8, crying unto God, which I do every night, Psalms 27:7, Psalms 34:6, drawing near to God in prayer. See, if you don't draw near to God, I tell you who's going to draw near to you. Satan. He'll draw near to you. Oh, he would love to come to you. But, Pastor, you talk about the devil all the time. We are at war. This is war. And I know war very well. Lifting up the soul, Psalms 25:1. Now, Jesus made a prayer a priority in his life. When you pray, there's no one posture for prayer. People call me and say, well, how should I pray, standing, sitting? Well, I'm going to answer your question. You can standing in prayer. 1 Kings 8:22, Mark 11:25, write it down, falling down, you can pray falling down, Psalms 95:6, you can pray kneeling, on your knees, 2 Chronicles 6:13, Psalms 95:6, it took me all day to prepare this sermon, Luke 22:41, Acts 20:36. Falling on your face. I do that a lot. Numbers 16:22. Also, Joshua 5:14. 1 Chronicles 21:6. I am a word teacher. Scripture, 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 scripture. Ain't no entertainment here. I ain't in none of that. No. I'm an instructor. Matthew 26:39. Spreading out your hands. Now, if a person can't lift up their hands and praise God, there's a hindrance. The Bible says, lift up thy holy hand and honor him because he is Lord. Recognize that he's Lord. When you recognize that he's Lord, the angels come in your presence to protect you. How prayer is answered. Sister R.E. Gilton sent me an email today, and she said, can you please explain to me prayer is answered? I will show you the scriptures how it is answered, ma'am. Number one, immediately at times, not all the time, that's in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. That's in the book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 21 through 23. Delayed at times through spiritual warfare. You know your prayers can be delayed. This is why I like to pray into the Holy Ghost. Now tomorrow, I'm going to get deep into the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, I ain't meant to have tongues. That's a lie. I can't speak in tongues. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, prevent no one from speaking in tongues. Everybody have that opportunity because you've been mistaught and you don't know the Bible. And you're going to go without the Holy Ghost. You better have the Holy Spirit in you because Jesus said ye should receive power after that the Holy Ghost have come upon you. Acts 1:6, 7, and 8. Difference from our desires. If it's not from God's will, that prayer ain't going to be answered. Also, beyond our expectations, God can answer our prayer with faith. If you forgive, you got to believe he's going to answer your prayer. A brother Tommy, Apostle Tommy from Finland, told me, just believe. Just believe. We had a lady got healed. Not me. I said a lady got healed by Jesus. I can't take credit for that. I said, just believe in Jesus. She got healed from AIDS. She got healed. I don't care what it is, God can heal. Now let's look at, before we close, I got 20 more minutes. Let's look at the prayer life of Jesus. Oh my God. Prayer should be important to us. It was important to Jesus. Jesus is our greatest model of prayer. Study each of the references about the prayer life of Jesus. Number one, Jesus prayed any time of the day and at night. The Bible said he did that. That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13. It is also in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Prayer takes priority over eating food. When you don't eat your food and just eat it, man, that has no respect. You can't even sanctify your food. You don't know who cooked that food. Jesus prayed at his baptism. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Jesus prayed during the first ministry tour, the one verse 35. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Before he chose any of his disciples, he prayed. You got to pray. Now, if you talking to someone and they're not a Christian, it ain't going to work. You got to be on one accord. Jesus got to be in the middle of that thing. He got to be in the middle of the church. And sometimes the pastors don't allow Christ to be in the middle of the church because they want to control you by taking your money, by telling you to get into some sacrificial offering, by teaching you something about some foolishness that's not even in the Bible, the First Lady and a pastor's appreciation day. What are you appreciating a man for? I don't want no man to appreciate me. I'm not worthy to be appreciated. I'm a sinner, saved by God. Jesus is the only one that you need to be appreciating. Before and after the feeding of 5,000 people, Jesus prayed. That's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, and Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Mrs. Diane Carroll, I want to answer a question. You're texting me from Houston, Texas. Why do you use scripture? Well, I use scripture because the devil, and Jesus used scripture to the devil in Matthew chapter 4. If you're teaching somebody, you got to give them scriptures, man. This ain't T.D. Jakes, okay? This ain't Jake the Snake. This ain't Snakey Jake. This the word. That's why I'm using scripture, because Satan hates the word. Then the feeding of 4,000, Matthew chapter 15, verse 36. Before the confession of Peter, Luke 9:18. Before the transfiguration, he appeared himself in a transfiguration. He prayed before that event happened. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 and Luke 9, verse 29. And they returned of the 70 and they prayed. Matthew 11:25. At the grave of Lazarus, Jesus prayed to raise him from the dead. John 11, verse 41 and 42. At the blessings of the children, Matthew 19, 13. You know you can bless your children through the Lord Jesus? If you don't have a husband, he ain't saved. You don't have a man, bless your child through the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You can do that. At the coming of the certain Greeks, Jesus prayed. John 12, 27 and 28. Jesus prayed for Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. For the giving of the Holy Spirit, Jesus prayed. John chapter 14, verse 6. On the road to Emmaus, he prayed. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. For his followers, Jesus prayed. John 17. The prayer Jesus taught us is recorded in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, which is the Our Father's Word in heaven. Now, there are levels of prayer. There are three levels of intensity in prayer. One, asking. Two, seeking. Three, knocking. Now, if you don't put Jesus first and you're trying to pray, ain't going to work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. The reason why people are not successful is because they don't have a fellowship with the Lord. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh it, receive it, and he that seeketh it, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Asking is the first level of prayer. It is a simply presenting a request to God and receiving an immediate answer. No. Why you don't get an immediate answer? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8, God's ways are not your ways and your ways are not his. God don't think like we. So you may be praying for something that's not in God's will. It ain't going to work. It has to be in the will of God. If it's not in the will of God, it ain't going to work. You cannot force God to do anything, because if you are a Christian, you're supposed to give your life to Christ. Most of us don't. We confess it, but we just keep trying to live and keep trying to do things without Christ. That's no fellowship with the Lord. This is why it's very important that Christians learn how to pray. Seeking is a deeper level of prayer. This is the level of prayer where answers are not as immediately as asking. The 120 gathered together in an upper room where they continued in prayer is an example of seeking. These men and women fulfilled the promise of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Acts chapter 1. Knocking. Knocking is a deeper level. It is prayer that is persistent when answers are no longer coming. It illustrates by the parable Jesus told us in Luke 11, verse 5 through 10. It is also illustrated by the presence of Daniel, who continued to knock, despite the fact that he saw no visible results because Satan hindered the answers from Daniel in Daniel 10. Let's deal with, I got 20 minutes, let's deal with the types of prayer. Okay? You enter into God's presence with worshiping and praise. How many of you go in his presence and praise the Lord with Christian music? I listen to a lot of Jermaine Edwards. And when I listen to Jermaine Edwards, it really puts me into a zone. So I praise the Lord in my house. I'm constantly praising the Lord in my house. I don't let no unbelieving man come in my house. I don't care if he's a military soldier or not. If he's not saved, he's not coming in my house. I don't let people come in my house who don't know God. I'm not filling my atmosphere with demons. You have to separate. Come out from among them and be separate, say the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Being a Christian is not easy. You have to die to yourself. And a lot of people don't want to die. You got to die and allow him to guide you. The sons of God are led by his Spirit. And if you qualify by forgiving people, you will be good to go. And guess what? God will hear your prayer. How can we pray? Can we use to pray? And can we use singing? Yes, you can sing to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter 9, verse 2. Psalms chapter 9, verse 11. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. Are you writing this down? Shouting to the Lord. You can shout and holler out to God. Psalms chapter 47, verse 1, shouting to God. Psalms chapter 47, verse 1. The reason why I want people to write it down, because you got to study on your own. You can't write off me. You got to, you want to study. And if you don't have a desire to study, I can tell you what that is. Demons. They don't want you to pray. Look at your life, how messed up it is without prayer. You're a wreck. Most of us are a wreck even when we come to Christ. We have to communicate with the Lord in everything. And if it's not in the will of God and you go against him, you will definitely have problems. You can use musical instrument to praise God in prayer. Psalms 150, verse 3 and 5. You can pray by standing, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19. Dancing, Paul danced to the Lord in Psalms chapter 149, verse 3. Now, confession and repentance. A prayer of confession is repenting and asking forgiveness for sin. You got to do that. If you don't do that, you can't have no fellowship with the Lord. I don't care who you are. You can't do it. Won't work. If you have a person that you want to pray for and they're not saved, pray for them. It's called intercession. Intercede for a person. Because a person has a free will. Remember this now. He that wishes to be righteous, let him be righteous. He that wishes to be filthy, let him be filthy. He that wishes to be holy, let him be holy. Revelations 22:11. So a person going to do what they want to do. And if you see them doing that, get away from them. Because they ain't going to do you no good. Pray for them. As long as it don't drive you in the ground away from God. Because I'm not letting nobody separate me from the Lord. Neither should us. So we're going to deal with the basics of the New Testament believers of intercessory prayer is calling and praise unto God. The Word of God declares that we are a holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2:5, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, and a kingdom of priests, Revelations 1:5. The background for understanding this calling, intercession, is found in the Old Testament, example of the Leviticus priesthood. The priest's responsibility was to stand before and between, and he stood before God to minister to him and sacrifice and offerings. We don't have to do that no more, because who? Jesus is our mediator. He is the model intercessor. The Bible records that God's purpose is to send Jesus was for him to serve as an intercessor for us. He intercedes. He sits at the right hand of the Father for us. Prayers go through Jesus, and Jesus cared to God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no need for Jesus because Jesus was with God in Genesis. Jesus wasn't just come on earth. He was on earth. He had to go through a human body in order to understand, which he know all things, but deceive Satan to die for mankind. Did you know that Jesus is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? God say, let us make man in our image. That's Jesus. That's more than one person. So he is the mediator between you and God. And if your prayers are not lined up right, if you have the wrong motive, it ain't going to get answered. For there is one God, before we close, for there is one God and one mediator and one intercessor between God and man. The man is Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It is Christ that died, yet rather that he rise again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, Romans 8:34. And if he intercedes for us, we should want to intercede for people. Do you know that if you don't have any desire of learning the Bible, you're not a Christian? Do you know that when you hear the word of God, that you can get delivered from evil spirits, Matthew 8:16? A Christian should want a desire to fellowship with God. You can't fellowship with God if you don't have an intimate relationship with him with prayer. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We ask that you sow a seed. I'm under attack. There are a lot of people coming up against me, especially here in the United States, because I speak against racism. Donald Trump is not a Christian. He is not a Christian. This man is not a Christian. Donald J. Trump is a racist. And see, when I say this, people get mad and they don't want to send no money. I don't want your money because I got a God that's going to meet my needs. And if I don't compromise his word, I ain't worrying about you because God got me. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into your own understanding and acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I lost a lot of people here on this radio station because I told them Trump ain't no Christian, and they didn't like to hear it, so they left. So they told me, we ain't going to tithe to you. I don't care, because the Lord meets my needs. Philippians 4:19, I don't need you. God will find somebody else to keep this radio ministry abreast. And I pray that this be you. If you would like to sow a seed, please do so and go to www.livedeliverance.com. You can go to the lower left hand of the icon and you can sow a seed. Or you can go to www.livedeliverance.com and you can go to our GoFundMe page. If you'd like to become a member here, email us at overtonnavy1@gmail.com. We have a full list of deliverance. We cannot do no more deliverance. Me and Sister Durden and Sister Evangelist Taylor, we are packed. We have 223 people we're trying to deal with. So we can't take no more people. And after it's over, we're going to open up doing deliverance next week with mass deliverance. That means we're going to call out demons next week. Wherever you at, you can manifest through coughing, of crying, screaming, and get these demons out of you, because demons don't want you to get close to the Lord. God bless you. God bless Israel. I am a supporter of Israel, and you should be too. Bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. Genesis 12:2-3. My Savior was from Israel. God bless you. God bless the United States Navy, United States Marine Corps, United States Army, United States Air Force, and those who have sacrificed themselves for this country. And God bless Israel. God bless Jamaica. And God help America. God bless you. Have a good evening.